Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room postseason, post-game edition, and by the day, it's looking like a shorter and shorter and shorter lived postseason as the Rebels fall in the opening round of a conference tournament for the second time in program history, losing to San Diego State 71-57. San Diego State 3-0 against the Rebels this season. Rebels never figured him out, and the Rebels never looked more lost, Mr. Rob Nisch.
Not a surprise. If people have been tuning into this podcast the last few weeks, the last 6 weeks, they know we've been documenting very well the foibles, the errors that UNLV has been committing, and it all just replayed right in front of us tonight. You know, UNLV is 29-2 against Mountain West foes on its own court the last three seasons. Both of those losses are to the Aztecs in the past 6 weeks. And, of course, we've documented this very well, too. UNLV was rolling, 17-4. Next thing you know, San Diego State visits. Bam. Loss in overtime. That started the slide. They've lost six of the last 10. That never looks good to the selection committee, which would be the NCAA selection committee.
Exactly. And asked a couple of the Rebels in the locker room afterwards if they're still excited about watching the selection show. And they tried to put a positive spin on it, you know, always try to think positive. But Joe Darger put it best. Right now, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I talked to Mama Wink in Houston tonight after the game to see how she was handling the loss, to see how her conversation might have gone with Wink. And, of course, Wink called her after the game. She was busy cutting hair. And but her cell phone was ringing every minute on the minute, so she figured he was doing something good. Because a lot of people, a lot of fans, a lot of friends always call Bugger when he's doing well. So she's trying to finish customers' hair, and she's looking over, and her phone is just buzzing every minute, on the minute. So she's thinking something's going well. And then she hears the final score. And she told me that she got a good cry when she got home. But then she talked to Wink, and he was as positive as ever. And he talked down and said that it's all going to be all right. And so she got a little emotional, especially with we're now very close to the end of his career. We'll see what they can make of it. You know, I would imagine an NIT bid is or invitation is coming up. And let's get to the bottom of that. Let's just cut to the chase a little bit for what is at the MAC next week that we think will unfold.
Well, there's a the opening rounds are scheduled for the NIT for Tuesday and Wednesday. Now the MAC is booked Wednesday night for rapper T.I. is having a concert.
See, as soon as you said T, I was hoping T-Pain, he's on a boat.
Because you love T-Pain.
Love T-Pain.
And you love boats, so it makes sense.
So I'd be there. You would have to double dip or triple dip the NIT game wherever they get
great
sent.
Great. Weber State.
But what do you think?
Well, it's booked for Wednesday night. Now, obviously, the MAC can be turned over. We don't know how fast. But there have been exceptions made in the past where the opening round could be extended to Thursday. We're going to have to wait and see, but there is that little wrench thrown in there as far as it's going. The NIT is seated, and you would have to imagine UNLV as a bubble team all the way up to the end would probably be a top four seed in that in the National Invitational Tournament field, entitling them to a home game or two.
Wow, I'm not even sure about that. Boy, it's all speculation once you get to the NIT. You know, they could really do some coy things, and I think the NIT has done this in the past. Boy, San Diego State has been screwed in the past with the NIT, having to open up in Syracuse and then Florida. It was Florida first and then Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Anyway, two games on the East Coast. Wow. So they can kind of do what they want. They try to keep you local, try to keep it somewhat regional. And if they do that, well, the possibilities could be, a rematch with Arizona in either arena?
There's a couple Pac-10 schools out there. USC, obviously a possibility. Mm-hmm. Washington State, even.
Oh.
As much as you love Pullman.
That means we would complete the two hell trips in college basketball in the same season. Laramie and Pullman, Washington.
Great.
But you can fly to Pullman.
Okay.
And I know a great Chinese restaurant in Moscow, Idaho, 7 miles away.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Who else? Well, possibly St. Mary's, possibly Portland State.
No, Portland State is in the NCAA tournament. They won the
Big Sky.
Weber State was the top seed in the Big Sky tournament. They got knocked out by Montana State.
And we can talk about Utah State.
Should they drop in the semifinals of the WAC? And another WAC team that, you know, made it to the semifinals tonight by beating San Jose State. If it makes it to the finals, might be in line for an NIT Big due to how strong they finished the season. Nevada Reno.
Oh, great.
Definitely a possibility still.
Yep. And then so I wonder if they would just put it here so that they would have to finish off the home and home.
Oh, boy. either way, it's hard to imagine fans are too geeked up about the NCAA or about the NIT at this point.
Well, I can't imagine fans have been geeked up the last 6 weeks anyway. In fact, I would think that they've been severely deflated and you know what? I mean, we're being redundant, but you could see it coming. It didn't take a rocket ship scientist.
Or a rocket surgeon.
Right.
The final box score reflects a lot of the struggles that the Rebels have had. Let's look at a couple of the big blemishes. We'll start at the bottom, work our way to the top. At the bottom,
let's not even look at the final box. Let's look at the first half box because that shows something very glaring too. Rene Rougeau didn't get a shot off in the first half,
and he was out after 3 minutes and 39 seconds with two fouls. And he even said after the game, he was very honest. Said no heart, no fire. This team played with, and he said no pride.
Yeah.
He said, you know, when I went out with the two fouls, he knew it was going to be very tough for them to do it without him. He was honest.
Yeah.
And, Rene Rougeau didn't really do much until the second half. And
well, the first half, too, Wink just held the boat up, you know, with 17 points. He you know, when nothing else was working, he did his one-on-one moves and tried to create and tried to hold the team up on his wide shoulders, and it wasn't enough. He ended up with a season-high 26 points, and they lose by 15, so... Or 14, so they were missing a whole lot. They were out of sync, and this was hardly a team. You look at a season low 5 assists, you don't expect that in early March.
Especially when, you know, San Diego State had it working so well. They finished the game with 19 assists on 28 field goals, and how many times did we see the open layups by Amoroso or Shelton underneath? That was just the product of them being patient, stretching things out, playing very smart basketball. Yeah. They stretched it out quite a bit, and they hit the threes.
And they weren't patient to be patient. We've seen the Rebels be patient in the recent past, but you could tell it was an artificial patience. You know, you could tell that it was there wasn't really a point. Mm-hmm. And the Aztecs were very efficient. And well, you saw the first two baskets they made of the game. Wink converts a jumper. And then, boom, Amoroso comes down, easy layup on the right side. Next possession, easy layup on the right side. The Aztecs have the lead for good the rest of the way.
Amoroso had 10 points, and how many of them did he really have to work for? I mean, he hit the deck a lot, but that says it all right there. And San Diego State, 36 points in the paint compared to 14.
There you go.
For UNLV. And, you know, the rebound, you know, we can talk about Billy White being back here in a little bit. He had 6 points and four rebounds in 27 minutes at full strength, which he wasn't at last Saturday. But, you know, the rebounding battle was a big deal in San Diego on Saturday. And, you know, on paper it looks like it was pretty even, but then you look at what San Diego State did with those rebounds. They had 10 offensive rebounds. UNLV had 8. San Diego State had 14 second-chance points. UNLV could only muster 4.
Right, and, you know, look at that. That's 10 points. They win by 14. Those slim differences. Hey, you know, Lon Kruger said the other day, too, you know, you can't look at one stat, and that's why you lost the game. But, you know, that didn't help. That was part of the salt in the wound.
And what also didn't help was another poor bench performance. UNLV, 4 points off the bench between Kendall Wallace, Mo Rutledge, Bryce Masamba in a combined 34 minutes. And that means over their last 3 games, UNLV has produced 12 bench points.
You know, I'll tell you what, it's just this team continues to regress.
Yeah.
It's stunning how this team... let's face it, just continues to get worse. And it's stunning because Lon Kruger teams usually don't do that.
And, you know, even elaborating on the bench to show you how little their contribution was, you know, Mo Rutledge, they needed big minutes out of him when Rougeau went out. He came into the game. You know, he only had 2 points off a jumper in the first half. He did not register another stat. No assists, turnovers, blocks, steals, rebounds, even a foul, anything. Kendall Wallace, and he played 16 minutes. Kendall Wallace played 10. He had two missed shot attempts, and he did not have another stat of note, anything.
You know, and
so it was basically like having just warm bodies out there for those 26 minutes.
Right, and look at Bryce Masamba getting in there for 8 minutes. Now,
so most minutes he played in 13 games.
In 13 games, and so he has elevated himself above Darius Santee, and Santee, to the very best of my knowledge, isn't injured. I saw him practice at Valley High this week, and he even had a couple monster cram jams.
Another DNP.
Yeah, so Santee doesn't play, and Masamba's in there, not effective at all. He did get a rebound, you know. It looked like, wow, look at this, could be it. He gets the rebound and then just got snuffed.
Yeah.
So it's just a confounding, puzzling team.
And it's almost done.
And the chemistry is awful, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
It flat out is. When we saw Rene Rougeau bicker with Trayvon Willis, and Wink was right there in the mix under the rim at Utah, and it was so glaring on TV. People back home were sending us text messages. That looked awful. I don't care how well you know basketball and how well you think that is a part of basketball, and we know it is, that still looked bad to the human eye. And after that game, Joe Dagher flat out said, you know, we're not on the same page. And guess what? This team hasn't been on the same page for a long time.
No, they certainly have not. And let's just look forward, because we're expecting an NIT bid on Sunday to come through. What are you expecting out of this team? Should that be the case? I mean, are we expecting a team that's basically gonna, you know, just seal it up in an envelope and slip it under the door? Or I mean, is this team gonna show any kind of fight?
No,
No.
I don't expect it to. And that's not being critical, and that's not being overly sensitive.
Just being
to
real.
Any rebels who might be listening, don't take it personal. But, you know, we were talking today at the arena. Leopards don't change their spots. We've seen this pattern develop. That's why today's game should have surprised nobody. The only thing that surprised me about today's game was the fact that UNLV was.
Yeah, UNLV was favored.
Right. It's so stunning. I stumble over my
tongue. 3.5 points at close.
It opened at 4.5. Are you kidding me? We have seen this team. Granted, it was a 2-point overtime game here 6 weeks ago, but we saw San Diego State pull away from them Saturday. There was nothing at all that we have seen that would have told either of us that UNLV is a better basketball team than San Diego State. Yet UNLV opens at 4.5. That was stunning. That's probably one of the most stunning games, opening lines, I've ever seen. And I'm not a gambler, so I didn't make any money. I would have loved to have said I did, but that stunned me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be back here on Sunday night once everything is set in stone as far as where the Rebels will be playing in the postseason. That, again, will be Sunday night. Rob, any final comments?
You are probably too young to remember this, but do you remember Don Meredith on Monday Night Football?
I know the name.
Remember, there was a song that he would sing with his country twang whenever the game was over. You ready?
Yeah.
Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. And I'm going to quit singing. But that was a great, great part of Monday Night Football back with Howard Cosell. Great stuff.
And I imagine you're insinuating that is the theme song right now.
You are a smart young man.
Couldn't have said it better myself. For Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you Sunday night. Take care.